Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 382. What is thy birthright, man, child of the perfect one? What is thy father's plan for his beloved son? Hymn number 382. The scriptural will be given by Shahidat from Maryland.
I will read from the book of John, chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe in me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us thy Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
our Father, Mother God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 125. How lovely are thy dwellings, Lord, from noise and trouble free. How beautiful the sweet accord of those who pray to thee. Hymn number 125. Welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin every Sunday morning here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, where we discuss this week's lesson, other topics that need to be covered, and learn how to practice better in our daily lives this science, Christian science. And we had a really good one again this morning. So if you'd like to hear it again, or if you missed it, you can find it on our website, plainfieldcs.com, and you can also find it on our YouTube channel and our Vimeo channel. So tune in. You're going to enjoy it. We have a Sunday school for children that meets at 11 every morning, Sunday morning. And that Sunday school has children actually from all over the place because it has a dedicated teleconference number. And many of our students don't live in the area but participate over the telephone. And what that means is if you don't live in the area and have a child of Sunday school age, you can call us. We'll give you the number. And we would love to welcome your child to our Sunday school. And we have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15, where you can hear testimonies of healings, lives literally saved through the study and practice of Christian science. And you can even give a testimony of your own if you have one. And at all of our services, we have a nursery available for infants and toddlers. So if you do live in the area and come in person, you can actually bring the whole family if you'd like. So we have 17 different websites in 17 different languages, and that is our outreach to the world. And as a result of that, there are millions of people around the world who can find the very finest Christian science literature to read, to listen to, study in their own language. And everything that we provide on our websites is free of charge. Freely we have definitely received, and freely we give, which is why we are so grateful to those of you who contribute financially to this tremendous cause. I'd like to point out an article that is featured on our English language website entitled The Nature of God and Man by Herbert Eustace. If you ever have any question as to what it is that we are supposed to worship, that is our God that we are supposed to worship, well, this is a very good article. I recommend it highly. Everyone is welcome here. And that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now we will have the reading of a testimony of healing from the chapter entitled Fruitage in the Christian Science textbook that attests to the power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Kara from New Mexico.
Healed physically and spiritually. I had been taking medicine continually for many years. Finally, I was taken suddenly ill and could not leave my room for about 2 months. Then I went away for 3 months, thinking that I should come back and be able to continue my work. I improved very much, but the fear of quick consumption was with my doctor and my family and friends, and I was warned about the coming winter. Only too soon, the fear manifested itself. I had worked just 3 weeks when all the pains and aches returned, and I had to go to bed as soon as I got home, so there was no pleasure in living. My employer advised me to see my physician and said perhaps I should not work that winter. I then and there turned to Christian Science. I could not afford to give up work and live away from home. Neither did I want to depend on doctors and medicine any longer. I took the book and read it on my way to work. And at noon, I lay down on a couch instead of going out for luncheon and fell asleep. When I awoke, I was a different person. All pains and aches had gone, and I was free. I was so happy I could hardly contain myself. To material sense, it was wonderful. As I walked, I kept saying, wonderful, 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 and tried to understand the scientific statement of being by repeating portions at a time, then pondering over them. I read the book 4 times in succession, and every time I found more and more aid in the understanding. This healing was in October 1901, with no other help than science and health. And soon, I was relieved of other chronic ailments. In February, I was able to put away eyeglasses, which I had worn 10 years and a half for astigmatism. Oculists told me I would always have to wear them. A month later, my father asked me to help him, as he was suffering so much from constipation, dyspepsia, and neuralgia. He had been subsisting on bran, nearly starving himself until he was most miserable, and his limbs seemed so cold that they were kept wrapped in blankets. I felt very humble as he asked me, and told him I would have a practitioner help him, as I had never treated anyone. But he would not consent to have anyone but myself, and I finally told him I would try, but that he must not hold science responsible if he were not benefited, for my lack of understanding and not science would be at fault. At my request, he read Science and Health, ate whatever he wanted, and used no medicine in any form. After 2 treatments, I received word from him that he was healed of that bondage of 30 years standing. In view of all these signs which followed my acceptance of it, I knew it must be true. RLA, Chicago, Illinois.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural texts and their correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon this morning. The canonical writings, together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts and their denominational spiritual import and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. And today's lesson sermon can be found on page 20 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject, man. The golden text is from John. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. The responsive reading is from Acts. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious.
For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.
God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands.
Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all
hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation,
that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us.
For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Fairly from Maryland will now read.
The Bible, Isaiah. Now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. Matthew. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then says he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. And came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walked. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. John. After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he says unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answers him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another step is down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Matthew. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, John, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing.
Carol will now read.
I will read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. As a drop of water is one with the ocean, a ray of light one with the sun, even so God and man, Father and Son, are one in being. The scripture reads, "For in him we live and move and have our being." Question: what is man? Man is idea, the image of love. He is not physique. He is the compound idea of God, including all right ideas. The generic term for all that reflects God's image and likeness. The conscious identity of being, as found in science, in which man is the reflection of God or mind, and therefore is eternal. That which has no separate mind from God. That which has not a single quality underived from deity. That which possesses no life, intelligence, nor creative power of his own, but reflects spiritually all that belongs to his Maker. Atonement is the exemplification of man's unity with God, whereby man reflects divine truth, life, and love. The Christ was the Spirit, which Jesus implied in his own statements, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I and my Father are one." This Christ, or divinity of the man Jesus, was his divine nature, the godliness which animated him. Divine truth, life, and love gave Jesus authority over sin, sickness, and death. His mission was to reveal the science of celestial being, to prove what God is and what he does for man. Jesus sent a message to John the Baptist, which was intended to prove beyond a question that the Christ had come. "Go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached." In other words, tell John what the demonstration of divine power is, and he will at once perceive that God is the power in the messianic work. May the Christians of today take up the more practical import of that career. It is possible, yea, it is the duty and privilege of every child, man, and woman to follow in some degree the example of the Master by the demonstration of truth and life, of health and holiness. Jesus said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Who believes him? He was addressing his disciples, yet he did not say, "These signs shall follow you," but them. Them that believe in all time to come. Here the word "hands" is used metaphorically, as in the text, "The right hand of the Lord is exalted." It expresses spiritual power. Otherwise, the healing could not have been done spiritually. At another time, Jesus prayed not for the 12 only, but for as many as should believe through their word. Let us rid ourselves of the belief that man is separated from God and obey only the divine principle, life and love. Here is the great point of departure for all true spiritual growth. The admission to oneself that man is God's own likeness sets man free to master the infinite idea. This conviction shuts the door on death and opens it wide towards immortality. The understanding and recognition of spirit must finally come, and we may as well improve our time in solving the mysteries of being through an apprehension of divine principle. At present, we know not what man is, but we certainly shall know this when man reflects God. The manifestation of God through mortals is as light passing through the window pane. The light and the glass never mingle, but as matter, the glass is less opaque than the walls. The mortal mind through which truth appears most vividly is that one which has lost much materiality, much error, in order to become a better transparency for truth. Then, like a cloud melting into vapor, it no longer hides the sun. The material body and mind are temporal, but the real man is spiritual and eternal. The identity of the real man is not lost, but found through this explanation. For the conscious infinitude of existence and of all identity is thereby discerned and remains unchanged. It is impossible that man should lose aught that is real when God is all and eternally his. The notion that mind is in matter, and that the so-called pleasures and pains, the birth, sin, sickness, and death of matter are real, is a mortal belief, and this belief is all that will ever be lost. Continuing our definition of man, let us remember that harmonious and immortal man has existed forever and is always beyond and above the mortal illusion of any life, substance, and intelligence as existent in matter. This statement is based on fact, not fable. The science of being reveals man as perfect, even as the Father is perfect, because the soul or mind of the spiritual man is God, the divine principle of all being. And because this real man is governed by soul instead of sense, by the law of spirit, not by the so-called laws of matter. Man is tributary to God, spirit, and to nothing else. God's being is infinity, freedom, harmony, and boundless bliss. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Like the archpriests of yore, man is free to enter into the holiest, the realm of God. To be present with the Lord is to have not mere emotional ecstasy or faith, but the actual demonstration and understanding of life as revealed in Christian Science. To be with the Lord is to be in obedience to the law of God, to be absolutely governed by divine love, by spirit, not by matter. We all must learn that life is God. Ask yourself, am I living the life that approaches the supreme good? Am I demonstrating the healing power of truth and love? If so, then the way will grow brighter unto the perfect day. Your fruits will prove what the understanding of God brings to man. Hold perpetually this thought that it is the spiritual idea, the Holy Ghost and Christ, which enables you to demonstrate with scientific certainty the rule of healing based upon its divine principle, love, underlying, overlying, and encompassing all true being.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let's now sing hymn number 161. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. It matters not what be thy lot, so love doth guide. For storm or shine, pure peace is thine, whate'er betide. Hymn number 161.
Thank you.
Let's now sing hymn number 93. Happy the man whose heart can rest, assured God's goodness ne'er will cease. Each day complete with joy is blessed. God keepeth him in perfect peace. Hymn number 93.
Thank you. I will read from the Christian Science textbook, the scientific statement of being and the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter, or its infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because he knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that had this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. 1 Samuel. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Amen.